Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. So if you would please turn with me in your Bibles, chapter 8 of the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 31 through 47. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever. And therefore, if the sin makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father." And they answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God." And Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words, and therefore you do not hear because you are not of God." Thus far the reading of God's word. Of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who can we trust to tell the truth? This is a question that we put to the students, the university students in Mexico, in the city of Tepic, where we had the opportunity to teach English. And we would ask them questions like, who has the answers, the basic answers and questions to life? Where did we come from? Where are we going? Why are we here on this earth? Why do we die? Who is able to tell us the truth so that we can be free and not become enslaved to do things and to believe ideas that would greatly harm us? Or even more basic, young people that are here this morning, have you ever stopped to think what it would be like to live in a world where no one knew the truth? And there are many people today who are saying that there is no absolute truth for everyone, the same truth for everyone. Everyone has the right to choose whatever they want to believe. That's true for them. And of course, we're all seeing the devastating consequences and the results of that kind of thinking. So we can be so very thankful that in spite of the many voices that are claiming to know one truth or another, that Jesus tells us here in John 8, verses 31 and 2, that if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So this morning we want to consider, first of all, what is truth, and then secondly, we will consider the importance of remaining in the truth, and then thirdly, the freedom of knowing the truth. So what do we mean when we say something is true, or What a person says is truth. Who made truth? Where does it come from? And the simple and the profound answer is that the God of the Bible is the source of all truth, which he has revealed both in his word and in creation. We know that from Genesis 1 verse 31, that after creating all things, God looked at everything that he had made and he said, "Behold, it was good. Very good." We would not know what truth is if God had not revealed the truth in both creation and in his word. So how would you define truth? Truth means that something is complete. It's not lacking in anything. It is good, it is perfect, it is reliable, it is safe, it's secure and faithful according to the perfect design of its architect and creator. So God alone is the source of all truth. All that he tells us is true, and all that he has made is true. For example, even our children know what the truth in mathematics is. Even our very young children know what 2 plus 2 is, right? It's 6. Oh no, it's 4. But why is it 4 and not 6? Because our children need to learn these very basic things, because this is the way God has made it. It would be absolute chaos if 2 plus 2 was 5 and one day and it's 6 the next day or something else. It's consistent because it would be a denial of God's laws in creation, which do not change. They are always true. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth, says Psalm 33 verse 6. And because of the consistent and unchanging truth and order in the laws of creation, the scientists, for example, were able to make these incredible necessary math calculations, not only to send men to the moon, but bring them back safely again. All because of God's consistent laws. And it's not only in the laws of creation, it is in everything that exists. The truth is whatever agrees with the great plan and purpose that God has planned both in creation and in salvation. His word is always true. It's always perfect. It's always reliable. It's always faithful. And it's always so good for us and pleasant for us. It brings us great joy. John 17:17 says that the word of God is truth. And how does God prove himself to be true? Because he always fulfills to perfection and complete everything that he has ever promised. And it always comes back to Christ, because he says in John 1:14, when the word Jesus Christ was made flesh, we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the word and he is the truth. He created all things along with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's why they're always true and always dependable, always faithful and always perfect. And God has revealed all of this to the entire world since the creation. And we're living in a time of history now when that has pretty much gone. The word of God has pretty much gone to every tribe on the face of the earth. Now you would think that if truth is always so perfect and so wonderful, and it's gone out to all the world, why do so many people on the face of the earth reject this truth? Why are there so many bad and horrible things happening in the world? What is the cause of so much hate and bitterness and the horrendous acts of violence that you see every day in the news and all the terrible deceit and suffering everywhere? What robs us of knowing the truth and therefore our freedom that comes with it as well? Well, you all know the answer to that. It's our own sin. Romans 1 verse 20 through 24 tells us, since the creation of the world, God's visible attributes were clearly seen by and being understood by the things that are made. But although man knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Their foolish and sinful hearts became dark. And why was that? Because they believed the lie of Satan. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen, says Paul in Romans 1:25. And we see all the lies that are being believed today as if it's true. Take marriage. You know, God created a man and a woman. And that was the basis of society. One man, one woman. And if they loved each other and loved the Lord and loved the truth, then if the Lord gave them children, they would grow up and have a wonderful family. They could live in great harmony. And what does man do that today? Well, he says, no. It's the homosexuals. They're going to enjoy all this wonderful life together. It's a lie. They deny the truth. It's a lie of Satan to destroy the family and society, and it's going to bring God's judgment on the nations and the churches who choose to ridicule the truth because it's a lie of Satan. And that's not the only truth that's being denied. Just think of the lie of evolution and the chaotic consequences of that. That human life is no longer considered sacred. Man is not made in the image of God any longer. He's just like any other dog or donkey or whatever. And so you can kill babies, even kill healthy adults now. In some countries, they cut them to pieces so they can sell all their organs. You know, it's all a big money-making business today. That's how far man falls into sin when he denies the truth of God's word. But these are not the only truths that are being denied. Jesus tells us here in verse 34 that everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. It's our own sin that blinds us to the truth. In our pride and in our arrogance, we think we know the truth without God. But all who do not know the truth do not love the one who is the truth, Jesus Christ. And Jesus explains what happens to the Jews of his day in this passage. They too believe their own lies. They said in verse 33 that they had never been slaves to anyone as the descendants of Abraham. But that was a lie. They had been slaves to the Egyptians. They had been slaves to the Babylonians. They were slaves to the Romans in this day. And why were they slaves? Why did God send them to Babylon? Because they were disobedient to the truth. God had told them, if you're going to start worshiping other gods, then I'm going to send you. I'm going to clean you right out of this land that I had promised you. And you're going to be worshiping other gods somewhere else. The women in those days, too, were doing the same thing. And the men, all the different gods of the other nations. And so today, women who worship the goddess of sensuality and sexual immorality, they have to abort their children. Same deal. It's still going on. It was then, and it is now, when we deny the truth. That's what happens to us. And then all who speak the truth through all generations, they either killed the prophets. They didn't want to listen to them in those days either. And the world doesn't want to hear the truth. They want to believe the lie of Satan. You see the insanity of our own government and what it's saying about sexuality. And Jesus said that they were looking to kill him in verse 40. They refused him as the promised, long promised Messiah, and they refused him, even though they claimed to believe what Abraham believed. But that was a lie. Galatians 3:29 says that if you're Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. But Jesus says in verse 40, you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. And so Jesus tells him who they really are. Verse 44, for not believing the truth, you are of your father, the devil, because you do not accept my word. And to this day, there's only those two kinds of people on the face of the earth, the children of God and the children of the devil, one or the other. There's nothing in between. And even amongst those who are claiming to believe the truth, like the Jews did here, when Jesus comes again, there will be those who say, but Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We did miracles in your name. And what will Jesus say to them? I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. That's how we can deceive ourselves. Young people, listen. The devil always wants to mislead you with his lies. But if you want to be free, then trust in Jesus Christ, so you will not be deceived by his lies. Because he will come to you in so many different ways in the culture in which you are living today. And he makes sin look so very attractive. It's so tantalizing, you can hardly resist. But he just wants to make you a slave to do his evil works. And the most deceitful lie that he uses to deceive you is that if you do what he says, then you will be free. You're not going to be bound by God's laws that are so crippling to you, enjoy life. That's what he's going to tell you. But instead of being free, you will become his slave for the rest of your life unless you repent. And you know where that ends up. You know, we have an example in Luke 16 of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, right? And what was the end of that man? He was a church member. He was forever tormented in hell on account of his own sin for not believing the truth. And there's an eternity of infinite sadness and pain and anguish waiting for those who will not believe in the truth and who will not flee to Christ to be pardoned and forgiven for their sins. Those who die in their sins will be enslaved forever. But the wonderful truth is that the one who has the power to make us free, the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me," he is here this morning speaking to you from his word so that you believe in him. As Galatians 1:4 says, Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. And on the cross, Jesus took every sin and transgression ever committed by any one of God's children upon himself, and he paid the price and he suffered for them, including homosexuals and lesbians and those who have killed their babies and murderers and idolaters and abusers of men and women. If they repent, there's hope for all of them. For all the sins of the repentant and forgiven sinners, Christ has paid the full ransom to set them free. And what a price he paid to give us that liberty. But now, if you know the truth, secondly, Jesus says we have to remain in the truth. Now, what does that mean? What does Jesus mean by saying that? Here in John 8:31, he tells us, "If you abide," which means remain in the truth, "in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus wants us to rejoice in the freedom that he bought for us on the cross. And he promises us that if we abide in his word, remain in his word, continue in his word, we will be his true disciples. And notice he calls them his true disciples. The word "indeed" in verse 31 means to be true or faithful. A true disciple is a faithful disciple of Christ, because he remains and continues in the truth. He's not like some disciples, like those here in our text, who believe and follow Jesus for a time, but then they leave him again for the lies of Satan. There were Jews who believed in him, verse 31. But what kind of belief was that? Well, they followed him because of his miracles, and he was feeding thousands of people, and he was healing sick everywhere. I mean, that's pretty impressive, right? But a true disciple is faithful to continue to be steadfast in his belief and living the truth of God's word, even if it has to cost his life on this earth. All the apostles died as martyrs. And even to this very day, on this very day, in other parts of this world, there are those who are being persecuted and are dying for the sake of Christ, for their faith in Christ, for being faithful to their last breath and not denying the truth. Now, how can you do this? What enables a true disciple to be faithful to the Lord even if it costs him his life on earth and the loss of all his goods, let alone his precious family. Well, Jesus tells us in John 15, verses 1 through 4, I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me, meaning remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now this helps us understand what it means to be faithful in remaining in Christ. A branch connected to the vine has to be constantly connected to the vine in order to remain alive. And we all know this from pruning grapes, right? We're all familiar with that. That is how the branch receives its strength and its life from the vine. So it is with us in our relationship to Christ. Our faith and our trust must remain in Him to stay alive spiritually. If at any time we're disconnected from Christ, we would die spiritually. It's not just enough to believe in Him for a while. Jesus says in John 15:6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is a branch that is thrown away and withers and is thrown into the fire and burnt. Now that's pretty clear, right? Jesus makes it very clear we have to stay connected to Him in order to remain alive spiritually. Jesus is a continuing source of our life. He enables us to live continually. We have been given an eternal life, ongoing, forever life in Him. But now how do we stay connected to Jesus? He lives in heaven and we're here on earth. Well, think about this. You're not the authors of your physical life, are you? Who gave you life? That was a gift. Physically, as well as spiritually. And so who upholds your life physically? Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, that includes physical life and that includes spiritual life. We cannot keep ourselves alive either physically or spiritually. We cannot do it. But the good news is that Jesus can and does. He not only came to this earth to set us free from our slavery to sin, but He unites us to Himself in a most intimate way to keep us free from sin. And how does He do that? He lives in us with the Holy Spirit, whom He and the Father have sent. John 14:16. Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may remain with you forever. Notice, not a day, not 3 days, not a week, not a year, forever. And He is the Spirit of truth, and you know Him because He lives in you, and He will be with you. Now that word translated comforter in the old translation and in the Greek is the paraclete, which means one who stays at your side to care for you. So now, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus comes to us and is always with us. Through the Holy Spirit, He is here to teach the truth of His Word, so that we can obey and understand the truth and delight and live in the freedom that He has come to set us free with. The truth. Because He is the truth. Our faith in Christ is an obedient faith. The saving faith is an obedient faith. As Jesus says so often, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Now, we can't do that out of our own strength. That's why He has given us the Holy Spirit, to help us to obey Him. But already back, the psalmist in Psalm 119, which we sang, you know, he understood how precious the truth of God's Word was. How I love Thy law. It is my meditation day and night, you know, all the day. And he says in verse 103, how sweet are Your words to my taste. That we can taste the Word of God. That we love the Word of God. That's the work of the Spirit in each and every Christian. So thirdly, what is the freedom that believing the truth gives us? Well, Adam and Eve, they really were free. Before the fall into sin, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they knew the truth. They were just able to enjoy the truth. Everything that God had said to them and created, they were free to obey the will of God perfectly because they had no sin. Without the deceitfulness of sin, they were completely free of knowing and doing the will of God. And now 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That is now the freedom that we have been given also. Christ, as the second Adam, has restored us to a new Spirit-filled life. And if the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, lives in you, then you are truly free, as verse 36 says. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You will truly be free. And if you keep my word, verse 52, you will never taste death. That's how free you are. You don't even have to fear death. But this is a very special kind of freedom. The freedom that the Spirit gives us is not to live, you know, however you please. The very opposite. In Romans 6, verse 17 through 18, we read, "But thanks be to God. Once you were slaves to sin, but you become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness." And again in verse 22, "But now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves of God. And the fruit that you get leads to holiness and to its end, eternal life." You've been freed from sin, but now you've become slaves of righteousness, of holiness. How wonderful. Now you see what we're freed from and what we do with our freedom. We're freed from the eternal punishment of God, the indescribable suffering in hell, because Jesus has paid that price for us and all the consequences of our sin. And now we're free to obey the commandments of God. Now we're free. We're able to hear again what Jesus is telling us in His Word. His will for our lives is always the very, very best for us. We can enjoy life again. We're not a slave to sin. The truth frees us from so much pain that those who are disobedient to the Word will suffer for not obeying the truth. If you obey the truth, you don't need to be a slave, you know, to drugs and alcohol and pornography and sexual immorality and all kind of stealing and hatred and bitterness and all the other things, the sins of the flesh that Galatians 5:19 mentions. The impurity, the sensuality, the fits of anger, the rivalries, dissensions, the envy, drunkenness, orgies, all those things. Those who do such things will not enter into the kingdom. That's what you've been freed from. You've been forgiven for your sins. That's the way we were, says Paul in Ephesians 2. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now you're dead to sin. You're alive in Christ. You can serve the living Savior because the Holy Spirit has come to help you and guide you. And every day becomes a new exciting day that the Lord has planned for you to do His works of righteousness. That's why you were given faith. That's what he says in Ephesians 2. So that you can do the works that God has ordained for you. And we're all called to serve him in one way or other, wherever you are. He has chosen things for you to do to serve him, because you belong to him. He's given you this new life. Every day you have opportunity to love and show the compassion of the Lord around you. To those who are in need, and there are so many who are in need all around you. And you're commanded to bring to those who are still enslaved in their darkness of sins, to tell them the good news, the wonderful light of Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world and who has the power and the authority to set them free. That's what you've been called to. With the help of the Holy Spirit, your obedience to the Word of God gives you wonderful, wonderful freedom. You don't have to fear what man's going to do. Yeah, the world hates you, right? They hated Jesus too. But you're the servants of the one true living God. While so many others are bowing down to dead idols, you're serving the living God. And instead of being enslaved to the evil and sin, you can have so much joy and so much satisfaction and so much peace in living the truth. Living the way God wants you to live. The way He has ordained for you to live. He knows what's best for you. He wants you to enjoy life to its utmost. Freedom from sin means a life to enjoy all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and humility and self-control. Aren't those the things that you enjoy in life? In your wife, in your children? We're not followers of gods like Buddha or imaginary god like Allah. Although there are millions bowing down before them. But you have the living God. The risen Christ is your Lord. And He rules over all. And so many are slaves. And you've seen what slavery is. You know what happened in the States and all of that. The history of slavery. Those terrible things that happened to the slaves. Because they were under bondage of a certain power. But you know, when you're a slave to your own sin, you're doing it to yourself. You're destroying yourself. And that's what the Lord has set you free from. Instead of being trapped, instead of having no freedom and no joy and no peace, and in all kinds of whatever that sin is, the Lord has delivered you. Because He has such compassion and love for you. He has set you free as a true disciple, as His bride, to show His love to those who are still enslaved to their sin. To speak the truth in a world that believes the lie. To those that are in darkness, you bring the light. And you look and see how people are living. Such anxiety. They're overwhelmed by fear. They live with hearts full of pain and regret. And they have no hope. Because they believe in the lies of the devil. But no one has told them the truth for millions of people on the face of the earth. So who's going to tell them? The bride of Christ, that's our task. While they're still enslaved, they're sinning. We have this freedom. The Lord wants us to use our freedom to pronounce the wonderful gospel. Tell them what the Word of God has to say. The truth of 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, that God desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of what? The truth. And you have that truth. What truth? The truth that God wants all men to be saved. Because there is one God and one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all. That's the truth. And God wants all of you to know the wonder of His love and true freedom and joy that there is in Him. Because He possesses the fullness of the Holy Spirit. All that is wonderful and beautiful and peaceful, Christ is filled with. And He wants to share that with you. And He does share that with you. Already now, all the things that the saints in heaven are enjoying, Christ wants His church to enjoy here on earth. The peace that fills your heart. The peace beyond all understanding. The joy of heaven over one sinner who is saved. He wants your heart to be filled with that. So if you want to be free from being a slave to sin, believe what Jesus has promised you here in John 8. If you abide in My word, you are truly My disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Amen.